Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
She's been to CT and she ain't never going back. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, I promise, Janae has not hit any more houses during her time out here,
nicked.
So we have exhausted.
I nicked it barely, and it was the front shed, but continue.
Janae nicked the front shed of a house with her car trying to drive out here in Connecticut. So we won't have to worry about that, but we do have plenty to look forward to and worry about this weekend. If you are the New Orleans Saints, you're worried about offering a very different set of ribs to folks in Kansas City. If you are me, you are extremely worried about what's about to happen in the ACC championship game this weekend. We got a ton of college football going on. But, Janae, the focus has shifted a little bit from the on-field play of what's going to happen this weekend to what might come later on at the Rose Bowl. Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly was out here and activated in the media day setup getting ready for this weekend, talking about plans for the college football playoff. Here was my former head coach and current head coach of Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, talking about Notre Dame playing in the college football playoff, or maybe not.
I'm not sure we'll play in the playoffs if parents can't be there, to be honest with you. Why would we play if you can't have the families at the game? So a bowl game, yeah, we would opt out. If you can't have families at bowl games, I mean, why would you go to a game where your families can't be part of it? What's the sense of playing a game, you know, in an area of the country where, you know what I mean, nobody can be part of it?
Now, Janae, that is not a misheard by anyone. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's head coach, saying they would consider opting out if they were to play in the college football playoff and fans were not allowed there. This in reference to the Rose Bowl, where fans haven't been allowed all season and where one of the semifinals is scheduled to be played. So, Janae, quite simply, cap or nah here, are you buying anything of this from Brian Kelly?
So it's not just Coach Kelly. I saw that the ADs at Clemson, obviously Notre Dame and Ohio State, all voiced concerns and pieces as well, basically echoing the same idea that, hey, if we don't have, you know, family there, what is the point of working so hard and you're these athletes and to be put in a position where maybe we can just change location and then they can actually get family? I understand that completely. And I think my point here, Junior, my goodness, you know, the situation we're dealing with right now when it comes to the pandemic is real. And myself being in Los Angeles in Southern California, you know, every day we're getting more and more stronger notifications with how they want us to treat protecting each other due to this virus. There's been 121% increase in cases lately, 170% increase in death rates. This is according to the LA Times. So this is why all of these rules are in place, and sports is prohibited in certain areas, especially like these stadiums where a lot of people can come. Totally understand that. I feel like everyone should be as safe as possible. The only area that makes me a little bit frustrated here, Junior, is the fact that these athletes are going to perform for everyone's entertainment. And while we won't be able to have fans there, family to me are not fans. Family are the support systems that let that athlete achieve. And so if everyone's going to be entertained by the product of these athletes on the field, these athletes, the smallest token you can give, hopefully, is having their family who literally was there since they started their careers there to experience that one major moment with them. Now, I understand that this may not be possible here, which is why I understand why Coach Kelly and other ADs are saying maybe we can move that location so that these dreams are still possible given the sacrifices that these student athletes have made, not even seeing their families for a large portion of this year. So I totally get both sides. I want everyone to be safe, but there should be an alternative option, whether it is making, you know, sure everyone gets tested and like figuring out a way for this to work, because those athletes are there for entertainment and that reason only. And I feel like the only right thing is for them to be able to have family members who are not, in my opinion, fans. They're people that actually are mental support systems there with them.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. And I agree with you, Janae, about that sentiment, but state lawmakers do not have that ability to discern. It is either are there people in the stands or are there not in this one. I had a coach in high school, my high school offensive coordinator, one time say something to me that's always stuck with me. Listen to what I'm trying to say to you, not how I'm saying it. Because a lot of people are going to get caught up on the messenger here. A lot of people are going to get caught up on how this was delivered here. And I understand why, given some of what we've heard in the past, some of the fiery stuff that we've heard from Brian Kelly in the past. But like you said, Dabo Swinney also echoing these comments. Here was Clemson's head coach getting ready for the ACC championship game this weekend, talking about much of the same.
I think it would be really sad at this point to be in a playoff game and these players' families couldn't be there. I think that would be a poor decision, you know, and again, a year where, you know, everybody's had to have flexibility and make adjustments along the way. I think that would be a mistake. But, you know, hey, I hope I get to have the conversation with you on Sunday. That'd be great.
And Chinay, what he echoed there, I think a lot of people got stuck on that, this idea that Notre Dame would be so confident in this situation they're going to make the playoff that they think they're calling the shots at this point in time. But what this really is just applying a megaphone to something that when this all calms down, I think people are going to come back to what you just mentioned there. These athletes have been so flexible. These coaches have had to be so flexible all year long in this. And now you're going to tell me the bowl system can't find a way to do that as a reward when, as both of these coaches, as athletic directors have pointed out, you could move this college football playoff game to any number of other locations that would allow family in there. Now, the committee is holding out hope that California would grant a waiver to allow limited spectators, a.k.a. the families in there, but that was already denied for USC and UCLA before this season started, and as you accurately pointed out, it's only gotten worse with the virus in that state. But what this does is creates a conversation now because it's Brian Kelly firing brimstone in a 20-minute rant in this press conference talking about this. Now it's a news item. Now people are going to talk about and take notice of this. And so maybe when all that dust settles, the committee feels a little bit of pressure going into this weekend. All the decision makers involved realize, wait a minute, we could do the thing that rewards these athletes in the truest sense and allows their families to be present for this.
And it's really interesting coming off the heels of yesterday announcing the College Athletes Bill of Rights, where athletes are actually being heard. And it feels like in this instance, where are the athletes? I mean, obviously, you know, you have to protect them in this instance, but like having the coaches, like you said, Coach Kelly, I think it's actually, he knew he was probably going to take heat with the assumption that regardless, we should be in the playoff. But how else are you going to get everyone's attention so that when it's planning, this is something that's seriously weighing on their minds? It's not going to be a last minute thing. And again, like this is the bigger issue here, because with that Bill of Rights, it's always the NCAA or the College Football Playoff Committee or whatever the case is being reactive instead of proactive. And how do you get people to actually have the conversations necessary? You have to do what is probably unpopular in that moment. You have to force the dialogue. You have to advocate for the athletes that typically don't have voices. And now hopefully you create that change. Now, again, I say everyone should be safe. We should do everything to help, you know, lessen this pandemic, especially as I sit here in Los Angeles. But if there's a creative way for people to have, I always say this personally, because I understand what it takes to make these things happen. My dad and my little sister both spent 2 weeks in quarantine back home in Houston took 6 tests, all negative, in order to take a flight to go to the WNBA bubble so that they could be with my sister in the playoffs. And guess what? My sister's team lost in the single elimination. So they did all that for 2 weeks and weren't even able to see a game. But still, they found processes because they understood that these athletes that go through this entire season deserve to at least have a familiar face in the stands. And if there's a creative way for us to make that happen, it should absolutely happen.
And I think that's the ultimate goal of all this. A lot of people think that it's Notre Dame or Brian Kelly spitting in the face of the committee. No, I think this is the more and more we're going to look at it. I understand. I think Brian Kelly, like you said, understands there's going to be heat that comes with this. But at the end of the day, I don't think it has an effect on their position one way or another. The outcome of this weekend will have the ultimate dictation on what their playoff standing looks like. But I think this might be enough to start a conversation to at least give this the best chance possible. If Notre Dame makes it, they're going to play in this game. But I think everyone involved would look at this situation and say, if there is an ability to go out here and move this, this is something that needs to be explored by the people involved. Chinay Ngola Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chinay Ngola Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, we've got that going on in the world of college football. The NFL is a red circle around one game this weekend, the Chiefs and the Saints. We got the biggest news possible about that game. But is it the worst-case scenario for the long term for one team? We'll get to that next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
One goes out, one comes in. Big news around the New Orleans Saints. Heading into one of the biggest matchups of the season, but certainly the biggest on the weekend. It's Chinay Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Ogwumike. And Chinay, big news. We thought we were just getting ready to talk about, well, are the Saints going a little bit too far? Are they risking too much with the announcement we got earlier in the day from Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, who tweeted out that Drew Brees will be the Saints starting quarterback Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Sources told ESPN Saints believe he is fully healthy and doctors have cleared him to play. With Drew Brees in the starting lineup, Winston would continue to be the Saints' number two, with Taysom Hill going back to his jack-of-all-trades role, including some plays at quarterback. But that is not the latest news about the New Orleans Saints coming out from Adam Schefter. 15 minutes ago, Schefter tweeted that the Saints have ruled out wide receiver Michael Thomas for Sunday's game against the Chiefs. So, Chinay, in addition to this being an obvious curveball in this situation for the health of another Saints superstar, I know this is a probably death blow to what's ever left of your fantasy football season.
Absolutely. I'm taking some L's. Plus, I have, you know, Keenan Allen from yesterday. I was like, oh, no, like, I've been going crazy all game. I mean, all season. But, yeah, my fantasy team is staying in the consolation and probably dropping out after this week. But, you know, it's this is one of those things when you hear it and I just instantly think, make it make sense for me. Because wasn't it just 2 days ago that Coach Sean Payton said, when speaking of Drew Brees and his ribs, he said, quote, he's got a ways to go still, and he's someone we're not going to just hurry back and just put him in the game. And then now it's like, we're starting him. We're going for it. And so I just wonder, is this shot for the number one seed overall in the NFC so important? I understand buys are extremely valuable, but like, if he does go out there and there is a problem that still becomes persistent or even possibly gets worse, isn't that worse down the line that he's not at 100% based on that rest? I guess it just honestly tells you how valuable they see this number one seed overall, Junior.
Yeah, and Chinay, it's interesting to me because we saw a piece earlier this week from Kevin Seifert, who does a great job around here, road winning percentages being up over the course of this season. That idea that the bye week, a chance for Drew Brees to maybe get healthy, is sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul in this situation if you're bringing him back too early in a situation where, like you said, the news this week doesn't seem to match up with a lot of what we're hearing now. But you wonder if the factor of home field, not in the crowd that would be in the Superdome, but just the idea you're indoors with a 41-year-old quarterback for as long as you can be going through this postseason run instead of having to play this on somebody else's turf as things get colder and all these injuries become a little more, I'd say, highly sharpened or highly felt by players in those ideas. Now, Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL insider, tweeted this. If the Saints are being conservative with Michael Thomas and not playing him to make sure he can get that ankle healthy, it's interesting that they're willing to play their quarterback, Drew Brees, who's obviously not 100% just yet. Now, here is Diana Rossini talking earlier on ESPN Radio about Drew Brees and how he looked in practice this week.
It was sort of a best-case scenario that he would return for this game, and I really got the sense after the Sunday night loss to the Eagles that Taysom Hill was going to get the start against the defending Super Bowl champs. And Monday, Drew Brees went out, practiced with the trainers. He went through a full workout. The coaches saw the tape, and they were shocked how good Drew Brees looked. So then word started to spread, Drew's going to go. So starting on Wednesday, he started to take first team reps and looked really good in practice. So we know the quarterback depth chart now. It goes Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, and of course Taysom Hill, because they're going to need him out there on the field to be the Swiss Army knife. We can expect to see a pretty big package for Taysom Hill in this one, as they're going to try to do as much as they can to protect Drew Brees.
Chinay Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. And Chinay, this is interesting to me. Now, my dad played 9 years in the NFL, played defensive tackle, and always talked about having torn cartilage between his ribs, a different injury, but he said for however many weeks of that season, he would go in, get the pain shot before the game, and go out there and play with that and deal with the ramifications after. With this damage a bit more structural and at a position that takes hits the way quarterback does at times, especially this Chiefs defense, Chris Jones, that defensive line that can get after quarterbacks a little bit, this seems unusually risky if the goal is getting the one seed. The things that come along with it, to me, I'm not sure are worth it unless you're overwhelmingly sure in the way that the Saints must be that what you saw in practice this week indicates a quarterback is not going to be one hit away from the rest of your season being compromised.
And you know what's crazy, Junior, is in the middle of Drew Brees getting all the headlines, you're seeing his numbers pretty much replicated if you're watching ESPN Plus this season. I wonder What does this affect Taysom Hill's perceptive value? Because I saw that he has had 2 interceptions, 6 fumbles, and took 13 sacks over the 4 games in which they went, I believe, 3-1. Now, in comparison, Drew Brees had 5 fumbles and 10 sacks in his 10 games this season. Do you think people now understand Taysom Hill's value and say, hey, if Drew Brees looks great and he's willing to withstand this pain, we've seen what Taysom Hill can do? Or do you think this is one of those situations where it's like, we actually might find ourselves in a situation where we prefer our usual, not necessarily trying to see if this is where our direction is in the future?
I think if he was healthy enough, you were always going to want best on best. And you know this, I'm sure Drew Brees was chomping at the bit for this matchup, chomping at the bit to go up against the defending Super Bowl champions, chomping at the bit to show everybody he is still every bit of that top tier quarterback in this. So that thing pulls from both ends on this, but I think it only comes together if they are absolutely sure. It's probably still, no one's ever 100% healthy when you go through a season, especially not after 11 cracked ribs. But this scenario, the Saints must feel comfortable with because they just sat down a wide receiver they love, but not the franchise quarterback that they need. We'll get into plenty more of that along the way today at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. Are the Saints making a mistake on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed by starting Drew Brees against the Kansas City Chiefs? But coming up next, we still got to figure out what's going on in Philadelphia right now. We heard little whispers of Ben Simmons being on the table when it comes to James Harden. Is that something Philly would actually do? We'll get to that after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Well, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service on vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle. And with options like Blind Spot Assist, MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and more. So, whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options of model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings based on a 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. That offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Simmons, Harden. Is this thing real? We'll get to that next. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It might be what James Harden wants, but does everyone want the same thing in this situation? Houston certainly wants to get fair value in return, but what's that look like, especially when it comes to one particular team? Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up, we'll get to an important groin from last night's NFL game and what looks like the brightest future of any rookie possible. And I heard it mentioned earlier today on ESPN Radio. We have to give Major League credit to one of our ESPN NFL analysts in particular, and we will do that coming up in about 10 minutes because he saw what the rest of us apparently missed. But Chinay, we've heard all this talk. We heard it yesterday. The Houston Rockets reportedly expanding the teams they're willing to trade James Harden to, and the idea that Ben Simmons of the 76ers was someone who was at least mentioned in the conversation about a package that might bring James Harden to Philadelphia. So 24 hours later, we've let it digest for everyone. I know Cliff was very against this, but Chinay, as you look at this right now, does this start to make any more sense for you if you're the 76ers to try and make this deal happen?
Well, now you're starting to see the hierarchy because a player of James Harden's caliber would demand another all-star or just a slew, a whole bunch of picks, plus probably major role players. And I feel like the Sixers are not willing to part with maybe their future, and they'd rather just sort of meet in the middle. And the star in question now is Ben Simmons, where it has been made clear that, hey, we're not really actually trying to, you know, do a swap because we feel like that's not fair value. But Ben Simmons, to me, I think that's been really interesting because now you actually know who Philadelphia values, Joel Embiid, in a weird way, since he's not included in these conversations. And I feel like it's always been this tug of war. Whose team is it? Ben Simmons goes out there and does a lot of the dirty work. Yes, his game is criticized, but he has a motor. I always said last year, I almost called him, I thought he was going to be defensive player of the year because he led the league in steals and deflections and all those categories. He did a lot of the tough work and was great in transition. But Joel Embiid is that beast. So through these conversations, you're starting to realize who the focal point is, and that's Joel Embiid, and bringing in a James Harden will actually be the best version of Joel Embiid being able to work by spacing the floor. Ideally, you want all three, but realistically, the Rockets will make sure that they have, like you said, junior value.
Yeah, Janae, I just never thought that was realistic to keep everybody and then bring James Harden on in that way. And I agree with you. I think you get somewhat redundant skill sets outside of the shooting if you've got Ben Simmons and Harden versus the combination you could get with Embiid. For more on this situation, especially from the Philadelphia perspective, because we've been asking Cliff a lot on this, but we thought we'd bring in some reinforcements for him.
His friends.
So we're delighted to be joined by Devon Givens, Sixers insider at 97.5 The Fanatic, with us here on Chiney Angola Jr. And Devon, we appreciate the time. As we've started to hear more about this, I'm curious, in Philadelphia, what's the comfort level with the idea of sending Ben Simmons as a part of this package potentially for Harden?
Chiney and Mike, first of all, thanks for having me. And secondly, it's split. Here in Philadelphia, it's very split because Ben Simmons at this stage of his career, already being on the floor, making the All-Star team, All-NBA this past season, All-Defense as well, there are those supporters. But then there are those people that you both mentioned, Chiney specifically talking about his weaknesses, where the lack of outside shooting stands out for so many Sixer fans that it's beyond frustrating at this point. So with that, there are those who still hang on and want to keep him around now that you have the new leadership in Doc Rivers and the coaching staff, which is arguably now assembled the best coaching staff in the NBA, arguably. And then, of course, with Daryl Morey making the decisions up top along with Elton Brand, that you want to see that now without Brett Brown being there, the familiarity with it that they have with one another, the family ties that they have with Brett Brown and Ben Simmons' family, to see if Doc Rivers and the staff can unlock Ben Simmons and those other things that you want to see from him. So right now it really is split on those two sides. A majority want James Harden because they have been out without the player who can just go get it. And James Harden, as we know, is someone who's a leading scorer in the league, an MVP. He can flat out go get it. And when Jimmy Butler was here, many people were a little reluctant to really latch on to Butler because sometimes it would take him a little bit long to get himself into the groove. But once he started to hit those big shots, make those plays in the playoffs, many wanted to see him come back. And with Ben Simmons not really doing that at this stage of his career, still not shooting, still having an offseason where we question, or basically you're tired of seeing the offseason videos of him shooting because is it actually going to translate to the court in the regular season and the postseason, then that's where people start to get a little frustrated. So I would say right now it still is split. And that's just where they are right now. And a lot of people are just anxious to see whether it happens or not.
Chiney Ogwumike, Michael Jr. and Devon Givens, Sixers insider on 97.5 The Fanatic, here with us on Chiney Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio. And you know what's funny, Devon? You talk about, oh, we're going to be patient this season. We want to see what we've got. Shouldn't y'all be tired of patience? It's kind of funny, Philly. Y'all are interesting.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They're tired of patience. And you know, speaking to the people, the fans and the Sixer fans out there tonight and talking about that, you'll hear that from fans. How much longer do we have to be patient? I'm tired of being patient. You went through all the years with the rebuild. You then have the back-to-back 50-win seasons. Then you have the issues with Simmons and B with his issues, if you will, with the conditioning, and will he be that guy who can also make those big shots when need be? So, yeah, the patience is wearing thin, even though you know you have two really good players, one maybe close to a superstardom, the other on the fringe of that as well. But, yeah, you're right. Here in town, the patience is wearing very, very thin with Sixer fans, with the two right there that you're talking about, and how many times are you going to try to rebuild around them to find the right mixture? And maybe that is James Harden by keeping Embiid with him and moving on from Simmons.
Devon Givens, we don't have that much time left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Daryl Morey because it's funny. His first major pursuit is James Harden. He did a great job bringing in Danny Green and also Seth Curry. But what are your thoughts on Daryl Morey's work so far?
So far, I've liked everything he's done. He's identified that they needed shooters. He's done that. They have identified more athleticism by bringing in a few other players with Dwight Howard, Terrence Ferguson, some veteran leadership as well. So far, so good with Daryl Morey. And with his reputation, to your point, many people do expect him to do something right away. Well, this will not be the only roster that we see for this 2021 campaign.
All eyes on Philadelphia this offseason as we wait for the next major domino to fall after the signing of Giannis in Milwaukee. Devon, we appreciate the time and insight, man. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Mike, Janae, thank you so much. Have a good one. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Devon Givens, Sixers insider, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. Janae, you just couldn't help yourself there. How long are we going to process this thing in Philadelphia? It is one long loading screen.
I know, right? Like, it's kind of crazy because I was just like, hey, hold on. Like, y'all were saying, oh, we can just wait through the season. I was like, haven't y'all been waiting for like 5-6 years? Aren't y'all good?
We're getting major eye rolls from Cliff right now, so I'm going to back away from this one slowly here before he pods down our mics. Coming up next, though, we did have a lot going on Thursday Night Football, and I'm curious, as we watched last night, which team's future are you taking right now? The answer seems obvious, but I think there's one thing we need to consider. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are a mere 10 minutes away from award season continuing to roll on. Janae Ogunbowale's NBA preseason awards getting loose today. The Dreams and Nightmares editions, which if this show wasn't Philly enough already in so many ways, it is about to get all sorts of buck when we get up for that one. And yeah. I actually can't wait. This might be the most excited I have been. So look forward to that. We got about 10 minutes on the clock for that one. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. But right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And, Janae, it is so interesting when we go through the draft process every year. I've been fortunate to do some draft shows on Twitter for the last couple of years and really get to hone in on this. Who's going to end up being the one out on top? I get to discuss number one picks. You were a number one pick, so you were the one being discussed by a lot of people. But it all came down this last quarterback class to Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert, who we're going to see this weekend. And, Janae, I did not see it for a minute. I looked at what we saw from Justin Herbert in college. I said it looked good. It looked big. It looked like all of the things that we wanted out of quarterback. But I thought it was clearly Burrow and Tua, and then we would talk about that. And one man on this network had the courage to do it. I heard the guys on the Levitard show give him credit this morning, and I want to run back from this. Our ESPN NFL insider Mike Tannenbaum was on Golic and Wingo with us this last year before the draft and said this about who he would take number one overall in the draft.
The durability of quarterbacks in the NFL is at an all-time high. Taking nothing away from Joe Burrow, taking nothing away from Tua, of those three, by far, in my opinion, Justin Herbert is built to last. He looks like Ben Roethlisberger. He's a great athlete. Tua's been hurt. And again, I'm not saying that he won't be a productive NFL player, but I am putting a premium on size and athleticism. And Joe Burrow, his arm strength was better than I thought. He's a better athlete than I thought, but he's not as big a man as Herbert. And if I'm building a franchise for the next 10-year guys and I need a tiebreaker, the size of Justin Herbert is what's going to do it for me.
November 11th, 2019, Chiné. Mike Tannenbaum, that. You know what? Got to give it up for him on that one. And Chiné, it seems like the simplest version, but I had Phil Yates, who was our ESPN NFL insider, who was a scout for the Patriots for a long time, that said, we draft traits, not production. And this seems like a huge win for that idea.
I mean, this has been fascinating to watch. But even like starting with his how he started. Like, you know what I mean? That injury situation with the quarterbacks that put him into the starting lineup and then just being ready for the opportunity. And it's been great to see him blossom. And I know he's had challenges, including, you know, there are situations where play calling was at question a little bit. And just being able to weather the season as a rookie is super impressive. But the history he's making is wild, especially in this 2020 where, like, what do we always say? Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. He's the epitome of that. He set an NFL rookie record with his seventh 300-yard game, his seventh on the season. As a rookie, he has 27 passing TDs this year, tying Baker Mayfield in 2018 for most by a rookie. He will break that. And so, I mean, like, obviously his team might at the time, at times be in the periphery, but then again, on a Thursday night in prime time, he sort of, those things set you over the edge, and you have to put recognition also on, you know, the Pac-12 as well in this moment.
So. I can say you had not one, but two Oregon quarterbacks last night, as the other big news of last night was Raiders starter Derek Carr going down with a groin injury in that game. And so we got to see a blast from the past. Marcus Mariota finishes the game out, game that went to overtime, that the Raiders ultimately lose 30-27, Chiné. So I'm curious on this one. Two very different situations in the game last night. You've got one side, a Chargers team that's 5-9 this year, that's been playing with a rookie quarterback since early in the season with that punctured lung with Tyrod Taylor, and they haven't looked back. And we've been excited about the future, but the record leaves a lot to be desired. Anthony Lynn is a coach that a lot of us have put so much in the hot seat, we're already considering that job open. On the other side, you've got the Las Vegas Raiders, who have a quarterback in Derek Carr, who's looked great in the early portions of this year before injuries really sapped this team. And they've got a coach that's in it for the long haul, a coach in John Gruden in the last 2 years that has looked very much like the top-tier guy we remember from almost a decade ago when he was coaching. And so, Chiné, I'm curious, is it as cut and dry as saying the Chargers have the brighter future because of the quarterback, or are you willing to bank on the Vegas Raiders with options at quarterback, including Derek Carr, and a coach they know is going to be there for the long haul?
I feel like this is where we put a lot of value on the position. While you have options at quarterback, you still have questions. And when you're thinking of the Chargers and even lucrative positions, people have said, and we've talked about it before, like, if it comes down to the Texans, hire Lewis Riddick. I saw Magic Johnson's tweet saying, oh, go to Detroit. Nah, fam, go to Texas. Sorry, I digress. you know, it's funny because, you know, when we talk about these jobs, we sort of have compared the Texan situation where you have no room for development with a lack of picks versus the Chargers where you could potentially have a quarterback with no questions around it. Like, he stepped into it and he's shown so much promise. And I feel like if I'm dealing with, I mean, it's funny, I saw like a lot of, and Mina was guilty of this, Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, was like chargering or whatever the case is. There's just a unique version of energy around this team, and he's breathed like a lot of life into them in a way that I feel like you can build around that instead of just manage what you have in Las Vegas.
Chiné, it is so interesting how steeped in the old ways, how steeped in what we're used to seeing the Chargers tend to be. This is a team that has found such creative ways to lose for so long, has been so injured when Phillip Rivers was there, that we would watch him have to try to drive the length of the field and lose. And in this case, the Chargers took one of those games and actually won this weekend. And the whole feel around Justin Herbert, his ability to make plays when things break down, knowing there's weapons around him, makes it feel so hopeful. I can understand looking at the stability that might come for the Raiders, because I think Derek Carr has been damn good this year. And when this team isn't ravaged by injury and COVID-19, they looked like a playoff team towards the middle of the season. But we know how difficult it is finding that quarterback long term. The Chargers aren't going to get to do my favorite thing, which is bring quarterback and coach in at the same time. But when you've got an answer like this that not only has all the traits, but has outperformed already everything I saw in college out of Justin Herbert, I think that future is too bright to pass up, and there's a reason Bill Barnwell, who does a great job writing for us here at ESPN, put them as the most desirable job this coming offseason.
Can we break down that final play, though, please, where the lineman was like literally like a pancake on the goal line, like tired? I feel like that must have resonated in your soul. And like Herbert was, I was in!
Wait, by the way, someone said it was the loudest I've ever heard Justin Herbert. I don't know if I knew what his voice sounded like until that point. So proud of him for stepping up. Your right. Who cannot identify with a large man elated but exhausted on the goal line in that?
That's you after every show. I've seen that.
On God, everyone who's been in our post-show Zoom sees me just lying down here all the live long day. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So plenty more to get into with the future of this NFL weekend, including what we expect from the upcoming games. We'll tell you why you need to be excited about college football this weekend. We'll get you ready for Friend Zone or End Zone. But coming up next, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought she was finished? She pulled up in that H2 Hummer, and she almost hit the side of that house. But Chiné's going to keep dealing out more bars and more NBA preseason awards next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Okay.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.